The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined now by the writer of Matilda, the musical, amongst many other things that he has done, Dennis Kelly. Dennis, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, Claire. Nice to be here.
Lovely to have you with us. And you know, when we have an Irish person on the programme, we want to claim you. We want to know exactly where you're from. What's your Irish background?
Well, my parents are Irish. Obviously, you can hear from my voice that I was born in London. But my parents were Irish. So my mum was from Leitrim. My dad was from Tipperary. Well, really, he was from Roscommon, but he always said he was a tip man. That's what he said.
Ah, you see, that's because Leitrim and Roscommon are deadly GAA enemies, you see. So it would be very difficult in the house.
That'll be it.
And did you travel back much?
We didn't really. I mean, it was we to be honest, we just didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't do any traveling really, you know. There was my dad was possibly the most Irish man in London. Like, he would listen to the sort of hurling while reading the Tipperary Star, you know. But he never ever went back. No idea why, but he just never went back. No, and we still don't really know why, you know. I think he'd been in London so long that the island that was in his mind probably was changed anyway, you know. It was just sort of something that happened, you know.
Yeah.
But we went back when I was a kid once, and I loved it. I remember with my mum was brought up on a farm, so we were on the farm in Leitrim, and we just didn't want to go. I remember hatching a plan to stay and not get the plane back with my sister, and I was all up for it, but she bailed, of course, you know. But
yeah, that's lovely though. It's lovely to hear it. And people like your dad, they never lose the accent. They just remain, as you say,
never
the most
ever
Irish
lost
man.
I didn't think he had an accent until he died, and then people would come up and say, I loved him, couldn't understand anything he said. And I'd think, why couldn't you understand what he said? Like, because I was brought up with it, you know. But you know, and then I lived in Ireland for a little while. I mean, I grew up sort of thinking, oh, I'm Irish, you know what I mean? I grew up feeling really strongly Irish and really proud of that side of myself. And then I went to live in Ireland when I was about 17, you know, chasing a girl. And I lived in Dublin for about 6 months, and suddenly everyone spoke different from me, you know what I mean? I was like that English bloke.
Yes, sort of, you weren't really Irish enough. You should have gone to Leitrim. You would have fitted right in Leitrim had you gone there.
Should have gone to Leitrim, that's right.
Carried out the original plan. So then we've been playing this clip of you all morning, Dennis, where you say that you normally write grimy little plays that upset people. So how then did you come to do Matilda the musical?
Do you know what the truth is? They just asked me. Like, the RSC came to me and asked me, and I was a bit surprised because I sort of said to them, look, I don't really like musicals. And they said, oh, yeah, that's what we want. I think they had this idea, like Jeannie, who was the dramaturg at the time, had this idea that a lot of musicals are fantastic, but a lot of them are kind of like, the way they're built is a bit sort of, you know, they're built often around the songs first rather than the story. And she wanted to go to a playwright first and see if you could go that way. And then you'd have, so the book of a musical is often an afterthought. You can get great songs and then there's some really bad dialogue gluing it together, you know. This is not all musicals, but the bad ones, you know. And I think they wanted to avoid that, so we did it that way round. And when they asked me to do it, at first I thought, you just got the wrong bloke. But then I thought about it, and a lot of my early stuff had been quite sort of crazy and mad and big, and I thought, actually, I think I'll give this a go. I think this is really interesting, and the chance to sort of, you know, be paddling around in the world of Roald Dahl was quite, you know, from where I grew up, that was an amazing opportunny, really. So
what a thing. I mean, even to get your head around that you're working with his material. And I read as well that you went to see his widow and had a chat about Miss Trunchbull. I've seen Matilda the musical twice, by the way, because I've got two daughters who are massively into it, and it's coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, I should say, which is why we're having this chat, from the 15th of September to the 18th of October. And I know that people will flock to it, but tell me about Miss Trunchbull and the advice that you got about her.
Oh yeah. Well, I think in the first draft, I had a bit too much fun with the Trunchbull, because like she's funny, you know, she's a funny, dark, twisted character. And I love writing Trunchbull. Every so often I'm asked to write like a little thing. Like, I write reports that they throw paper darts in the at the end of the show. And but there are little school reports on them. And I write those just because I have fun writing Trunchbull's voice, you know. Because she's just rude about everyone. She's really disgustingly rude about kids. And there's nothing more funny than being disgustingly rude about kids. And like, she, But I remember I'd probably had a bit too much fun. She went a bit too pantomime. And Lissy, Roald Dahl's widow, gave me one note. And she just sort of whispered in my ear, "You must remember she's a murderer." And it was really kind
love
of like,
it.
It was a real sort of slap, but it was one of the best notes I had.
Yeah, but that's,
you know, if you keep hold of that, then you've got something to play with.
But
you know?
I think that's part of the success of Matilda the musical, is that while it is primarily for children, it is a bit grimy and it is a bit gritty, and she is mean.
Yeah.
There's a bit of darkness there. That's why people love it. That's why kids love it, because they like the truth.
Yeah. And you know what? I think we just had fun doing it, like with Tim, who wrote the songs, and Matthew, who directed it. I think we were just doing it. We didn't really think about, I mean, it's been on for 15 years. We never expected that at all. We were writing it for a show, for the a Christmas show for the RSC. And we just sort of did the thing that we wanted to do. Like, I just see, when I watch it, I can see a lot of Roald Dahl in there, but I can also see a lot of loads of Tim in there, you know, that his kind of crazy brain is just rippling through it. And I can see myself in there, and I see Matthew in there, and, you know, so I think we sort of did it because we wanted it to look like that, not because we thought that would be a success. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you came up with Matilda's backstory about the acrobat and the circus performance. Yeah. That's yours. That's your story.
That's mine. Yeah. That's, well, I think that at the end of the book, there's this moment when you get this sort of information dump about who Miss Honey is. And it kind of works in the book because you're reading it in chapters and stuff like that. And I knew it wouldn't work on stage, though. I knew that information would have to be seeded all the way along. But I also felt that I wanted Matilda to tell a story. Like in the book, she consumes, you know, she consumes books, and you're reading a book, and that's amazing. It's an amazing sort of trick, you know. But I didn't want her to consume plays. I wanted her to consume, to make stories. So that's what I did. So theatre needs to be active. You can't just watch people read, you know. You can do that on a book, but, you know. And so I think I sort of stuck on this idea of getting her to tell a story, and gradually the story is really Miss Honey's story, you know, but she doesn't know it as she's telling it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I should have said spoiler alert there for anyone that wants to go and see the show, but it's been going for 15 years, so I think maybe it's okay.
I think it's okay. And then, so you had the 15 years of success, which is ongoing and packed every time. Anyone who's listening has been to the West End, they'll know how successful it is. And then the whole thing transfers to the screen in 2022, and our own Alicia Weir played Matilda in that version. And that was huge as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that went really well. Alicia was amazing. Like, she was
fantastic.
She was, yeah, and they looked really hard for it was, I can't remember how many kids they looked at, but I know Matthew was like that, you know, they couldn't find someone, and then the moment he's got really good instincts, and I think the moment he found Alicia, it was like this is it. We either do it with her or we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's absolutely brilliant.
So when something like this happens to you and you have success with one thing, is it difficult to motivate yourself to keep going, or do you just go, yep, that box is ticked, that can go and have its own life, and then I carry on?
I think more the second, really, you know, that you just sort of get on with it. Like, I mean, when we were making Matilda, I was incredibly involved for the first 2 or 3 years, you know, and then at a certain point, you've got to pull away because you can't be there all the time. You know, you can't sort of, you know, it's not helpful for you to be there all the time because you're seeing things that other people can't, you know. You realize that you're looking at something in a detail that the audience just doesn't see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then you realize your opinion isn't that helpful. And then, you know, you just get on and do other things. And, you know, otherwise you just go crazy. You would turn into this weird sort of obsessive about this one particular work.
Mm. Well, it's like raising children, isn't it, Dennis? You've got to say, right, you're ready now. You're ready to go into the world.
Yeah,
off you go.
Right,
I'm moving back.
I've got a 6-year-old, so I'm not accepting that at the moment.
Not there
I'm not
yet.
I'm not accepting that she's going to grow up. She's going to stay at 6. I've decided that's what's going to happen, and I don't want to hear anything else.
Does she like Matilda?
She came to see it for the first time before Christmas, and she loved it. She really liked it. It was a really lovely experience. You know, that and my mum seeing it. My mum seeing it was the nicest thing, because my mum had never seen anything that I'd done. She knew that I was a writer, but she didn't really know much about that, you know. And she you know, I remember when she came to see it, it was just lovely for her to see it, you know, because she just, you know, it was this kind of crazy big spectacle, and the audience were loving it. And I think that's when she sort of thought, oh yeah, maybe there's something in this writing, Lark.
Yeah, she's not still telling you to get like a proper job or...
Yeah, no, that stopped. That stopped from that moment on.
Yeah, and because I imagine that was a thing, you know, I mean, you describe your background as working class and you say you're going to be a writer. How was that received at home?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to be a writer from leaving school. Like, I left school and then I messed around for doing jobs that I hated for about, you know, I don't know, working in shops and working in markets and stuff like this, and just, you know, various different things for probably till I was about 30, you know. So by the time I was doing writing, I think they, you know, they would have either given up on me or stopped worrying about me, one or the other, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think at first they didn't, you know, you start off doing a play above a pub and they sort of see it's a bit of a thing, but slowly it gathers sort of steam, you know. But I knew that they had accepted it when I went home and I saw a picture of me and Tim with the Matilda girls. I think it was at the Olivier's or something, cut out and stuck on the wall. Like, and I was like, it was a strange moment. It was like really lovely that she was proud, but I was also thinking, what's Tim doing in my house? Like, why have you got a picture of Tim Minchin in my house?
That's great, though. I'd take it, you know.
Yeah, I'll take it, yeah.
Good place to be. Dennis, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. And
lovely talking to you as well.
It would be lovely to meet you when you come over. I hope you come over when the show comes to the Board Gosh.
I'd really like
Energy Theatre.
I keep saying to my wife that we've got to go over.
You should. It would be lovely to welcome you home, you see. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us. And a reminder that Matilda the Musical is happening at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre from the 15th of September through to the 18th of October 2026. That's going to be huge. It's going to sell out really quickly. The tickets are on sale now. So I would advise you, having seen it twice, to move pretty quickly if that is on your horizon.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.